You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Okay, welcome to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Nelsoppen. I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. I've got a very special guest today. We have Larry Borowski. He maintains the Viva Alberto's website. It's a St. Louis Cardinals blog. Larry, are you with us?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Tom.
Oh, you bet. Viva Alberto's is quite a sight. I just heard a couple of days ago that a sports media challenge listed you number 5, I believe, among the top 10 sports blogs in the country. That's quite an honor.
Yeah, that was a nice honor. I think it was the 10, they listed the 10 top baseball blogs.
So right, baseball blogs, yeah.
I appreciated that recognition. You know, I think that there's a ton of really good, baseball blogs out there. You know, it's becoming more, credible, I think, all the time because there's a lot of, devoted fans who know quite a bit, and then they attract a community of other knowledgeable fans. And so I think, you know, people really are getting good information and exchanging good information on these sites, you know. So there's a ton of good ones out there.
Sure.
It was very nice of them to list me among the top 10. But, there's really dozens of really good baseball blogs out there these days.
Sure. I think that tells a lot about the kind of following you have on Viva Alberto's. So tell me, you obviously are a St. Louis Cardinals fan. How long have you followed the team? How long have you been blogging for the St. Louis Cardinals? How long has the site been up and running? Give us a little bit of history.
All right. Well, I started the site 2 years ago. It's not quite 2 years. Next month, it'll be 2 years old. And I started doing it just to have an outlet for some writing. You know, I'm a writer by profession.
Okay.
I freelance, and so my workload at a certain point had become very heavily focused on some income generating activity, but wasn't necessarily all that enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I needed an outlet where I could express some thoughts on something I was interested in, as a hobby. So of course it's very easy to write about baseball because I'm thinking about it pretty much every waking minute. And I felt like that would be, something I could write about that I wouldn't have to do a huge amount of, it would be something I could do in a reasonably short period of time. And it would be just a good relaxing thing for me to do.
Sure.
As far as, the Cardinals, I grew up in St. Louis, in the suburbs of St. Louis, and, I'm a little on the old end for bloggers. I'm 44 years old, so my memory goes back to, the late 1960s. Actually, my first game I ever attended was 1968, and I was 5 years old. I don't really have many memories of those teams. That's what my blog is named after. You know, Alberto's were the nickname for the Orlando Cepeda led Cardinals of the mid 1960s.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah,
Alberto's.
And Cepeda.
That's right. Yeah,
he made up the name, and
right.
Of course Gibson and Brock and guys like that were on the team too. But
sure.
At any rate, that's about, you know, I have very vivid memories of the 1970s, which was not a very memorable period for the Cardinals. And then, when the Whitey Herzog teams in the 1980s, brought championship baseball back to St. Louis, that's, when I really got hooked in a new way, on baseball. Anyway, here I am.
Right.
Still plugging away at it and still enjoying baseball.
The site looks great. You've got a great following. I see that, every posting gets a lot of comments and I think that I mentioned to a couple of my friends that I was going to be interviewing you a lot of my baseball friends say, oh yeah, I know that site. And, so obviously you must be doing something right.
And the team too,
The team too. That's
nice. you know, it's nice to blog about a team that is always in the news,
right,
and on TV and has some recognizable star power,
right,
and you know, getting to the World Series last year, certainly,
yeah,
a lot of people found out about my site just because of that.
Right. And I was going to mention that you are obviously must be feeling pretty well about last year.
It was fun, you know. It was a little strange, to be perfectly honest with you, because I don't think that any Cardinal fans were expecting,
right,
anything. I think that by and large, we had written off not every fan, but I think that the honest fans had written off the team's chances, you know, and felt that with 83 wins,
right,
you know, it'd be lucky if they got out of the first round. And, you know, when the team then did actually look like that they might get past the Mets, then it was like, well, if they can actually get to the World Series, you know, either the Cardinals or the Mets will probably get killed by whoever comes out of the AL.
Right.
And so I think even heading into the World Series, I don't know that I felt strongly that they needed to win it for me to be satisfied. By then,
right,
I think I felt surprised that they'd gotten as far as
they did.
I know
Cardinal fans that felt the same way.
Yeah, so, you know, the fact that they actually won it was so unexpected that I think it was a different sort of experience from the other championship that I have vivid memories of, which is 1982.
Right.
And, you know, the Cardinals had the second best record in baseball that year and the best record in the NL, and you know, we certainly had high hopes for them to win it all.
Sure.
Gosh, this past year was a little more relaxing, frankly.
Right.
You know, I don't think that I would have had my heart broken if they didn't win.
And of course, it even before the postseason there, you had a week of like almost like, was it eight, losing almost like eight straight?
Seven in a row September.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Houston had a shot, and I remember a Cardinal fan friend of mine was like, you know what? They shouldn't even go. They shouldn't even make it to postseason. Wouldn't it hurt my feelings if that happened? He was like,
you know, I think a lot of us felt that way, and I certainly was prepared for it, you know, I'm glad that they didn't. I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, at the time they were being compared to the 64 Phillies, you know,
yeah,
the great choke artists.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, instead they showed a fair amount of fortitude in getting through the playoffs and everything,
right,
particularly against the Mets, where there were some pretty uncomfortable moments.
Oh, sure.
The first and game two, it looked like they were ready to go down 2-0, and they pulled that one out. And then, of course, game seven was you know, gut check time for both teams.
Sure.
And I think they both rose to the occasion. So just somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. But,
right, no,
but yeah, it was the kind of thing where if they'd have fallen apart at the end, it really would have made sense, frankly, because the whole season was a downward spiral from about June 15th onward, you know?
Right.
And every time the Cardinals went to Chicago, they'd get swept. You know, it didn't matter if they were playing the Cubs or the White Sox.
Right.
They'd go up there.
Don't
and
I know
just,
it.
Yeah. So Chicago was like, you know, the bane of our existence last year.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the White Sox weren't in the World Series because it would have been another sweep, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's got the good point. Yeah. So how you feel about the off season for the Cardinals? From my perspective, comparing it to the Cubs at least, they had a relatively quiet off season.
Very quiet, pretty much night and day.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals made an extremely small number of changes.
Right.
A number of the players they signed were guys that they brought back.
Right.
You know, Jim Edmonds they re-signed. Mark Mulder re-signed, Preston Wilson re-signed, Scott Spezio. I mean, the entire bench is coming back intact, which is pretty unusual in this day and age.
Yeah, it really is,
Bench players, you know, they just kind of go from place to place on one-year deals, and the Cardinals re-signed everybody. And the only major additions they made were Adam Kennedy at second base,
right,
and Kip Wells, the pitcher, who's going to join the rotation. But I think the Cardinals were feeling that the prices this off season were inflated.
Yeah.
And so they just weren't willing to pay that out and commit to, you know, multiple years of contracts, you know, at this year's rates. Now, I think it's possible that the rates will go down the next couple of years. You know, there were a couple of short-term circumstances, including the signing of the new collective bargaining agreement in October, that kind of all the teams were sort of flush with cash, and so they were all throwing it around. But,
right.
You know, 2 years from now, the prices, relatively speaking, may not be as high, and maybe the Cardinals will spend their money then.
I think these kind of things tend to cycle. I think they really do. And I think
yeah.
A year from now, 2 years from now, I think that you may get some bargain deals, and who knows, that may happen.
There's also the factor that having won the World Series, however unexpected it may have been, that takes some of the pressure off, you know.
Yeah.
I think if the Cardinals had come up short, there would have been a lot more pressure on them to go out and at least make a show of still trying to build towards a championship.
Sure,
and I think they probably would have handled things differently. But, you know, you've got your world championship now, and you know, I think that they made a conscious decision to commit to some young players, particularly young pitchers.
Sure.
And I think that's a long-range move that's going to serve them well. You know, whether it will serve them well in the short term, we'll find out pretty soon.
Right, yeah.
But I agree with the decision in terms of the long-term needs of the franchise.
Right. So how are things looking over spring training?
They've pitched very well, and they haven't hit, and that's probably true for every team that's in Florida this year.
I think so.
You know, all the Florida teams are not hitting, and they're all pitching pretty well.
Right. And the ones that have hit are ones you really didn't really expect to hit, the players, at least the ones I have seen. And I've checked the Cardinals' stats real quick, and, you know, the players that aren't hitting, like you know, Roland, even Poles to a point, they're not hitting, but the ones that are like the you know, the middle infielders and the bench players who Spezio, I mean, a University of Illinois grad, by the way, is hitting the crap out of the ball.
It's always a couple of the guys who are really hitting aren't even going to make the team.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's just, you know,
they've already been shipped out to the minor league camp. But you know, I always take spring training with a grain of salt.
Oh, I do too.
You know, Pujols, I did take the trouble. You can find the past spring training stats at ESPN.com, and he's always murdered the ball in spring training.
Uh-huh.
So it is out of character for him to have a spring like he is this year.
Right.
But you know, I'm not gonna panic or jump to any conclusions about it because. You know, we'll see what happens when the games start. I mean, for the Cardinals, the key is health.
Right.
You know,
they
got so many guys who are old and who have a history of injuries and are rehabbing injuries right now. So,
right.
You know, Jim Edmonds, regardless of what his batting average is, which it happens to be zero, but you know, the more alarming thing is that he only has seven at bats all spring.
Yeah.
He didn't play today. I think that was by design. It was a road game.
I think so, yeah.
They didn't want to subject him to the bus ride, but the important thing is to get that guy, some plate appearances and have it so that he can be playing 5 or 6 days a week, by the middle of April.
What is his prognosis? Is he planning on coming back soon? I know there have been health issues on his part.
Yeah, they say he's going to be on the roster opening day.
Okay.
That, you know,
right.
Until about 10 days ago, they thought he might be on the disabled list, but it's now it's not a fact, but it's a strong likelihood that he will be on the active roster on opening day and in the lineup on opening day. You know, he's got a bad shoulder, which was scoped over the off season, and he's been battling that for a couple of years.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Then he's got this toe thing, you know.
He had
surgery on his toe, and that apparently was plaguing him as well.
Which sounds trivial, but it's really not for a baseball player.
Yeah.
Just have to Dizzy Dean. I mean,
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean,
exactly.
It can really throw off your mechanics and
throw everything off. And, you know, he's a guy who has to do a lot of running in center field. And so, yeah, apparently it was pretty debilitating.
Right.
Then he also, the other thing that is worrisome is he's still not 100% over this post-concussion syndrome.
Oh, really? He had that too?
Yeah. He had the concussion in June, and then, you know, it's like it kind of crept up on him. You know, he actually had a very good month in July, which was after the concussion, but then in August he started having blurred vision and other symptoms that
were diagnosed.
Yeah,
that seems to be going around in majors. And I know that
Corey
Koski
exactly.
had the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's just a new way of diagnosing the thing. Who knows? But at any rate, you know, that's something that also concerns you, obviously, because, you know, it's if he hasn't shaken it by now, I don't know how he's supposed to get better when he's playing baseball every day.
Right. So is Jason Isringhausen going to be ready for 2007?
It looks like he will. I've been watching him really closely, and you know, you get conflicting reports. His results have been fine. And what I've done, because you can get you know, good play-by-play data now on the internet, I've just been tracking the batted ball data, and he's getting, you know, 75% of the balls that are put in play off of him are ground balls.
That's
extremely encouraging, because last year he gave up 10 homers in about 50 innings.
Yeah.
And,
right.
you know, because his delivery was all fouled up because he couldn't land on his hip properly, and so he was getting the ball up. And so he's not getting the ball up this spring. On the other hand, I've read that his balls, his breaking pitches are not really sharp, and that his fastball, it doesn't have the same velocity. You know, it's 2 or 3 miles an hour slower. So, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe that just simply is a function of his not having worked himself into game shape, and maybe that stuff will come back. But he is going to be active on opening day, and that was not a sure thing, you know, when spring training opens. But it is a sure thing now, and he's pain free, and so all in all, I'm really encouraged by that, because you know, if they didn't have him, they'd have to put Wainwright back in the bullpen, and they frankly need him a lot more as a starting pitcher.
Oh yeah. So my next question regards Albert Pujols. He just turned 27 years old, which, you know, by most accounts is the, you know, peak year for a baseball player. And my question is how good can Albert Pujols get?
You know? It's a good question, and, you know, of course, he gets better, it seems like, every year, and you think you've seen, you know, you think a guy couldn't get better, but I mean, you know, what did he improve, in his game last year? I mean, his home runs, per at bat were the best of his career. You know, he hit 49, but, he missed, 2 weeks as well. He had lowest number of plate appearances. He also had a career high in walks. So, you know, he was being, pitched around a lot more. He saw a little more of the Barry Bonds treatment
this
year than he ever had before. His strikeouts were a career low. His fielding was phenomenal last year, you know, and he's just such a complete baseball player. So, you know, can he get better this year? I guess I would say he probably could. You know, maybe he'll hit 350. He did that once, you know. He probably, with a little bit of luck, could hit 350 and max out there. And, you know, maybe he'll hit 50 home runs this year. There's no real limit to what the guy can do.
Right.
At the same time, you know, his health is always kind of a touch and go thing.
It is,
you know?
Yeah.
He's got this foot condition that he'll probably just play with throughout his career. He had the oblique injury last year, and, you know, those things can always recur. So apparently he's very healthy this spring, but, you know, he hasn't hit, right? So you know, so who knows?
Who knows
with that guy? But obviously he's he's someone the Cardinals, he's the equivalent of Derek Lee to the Cubs,
yeah,
you know, and,
right.
And, you know, what happened to the Cubs offense last year when Lee went down. I think if, Albert Pujols were gone for any significant length of time, you'd see the Cardinal offense, go right down in the tank as well.
So how about the starting pitching? You brought up Wainwright.
Yeah. I'm optimistic about it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm just fooling myself, but I think that I like what I see out of these young pitchers. I always felt that the Cardinals pitching staff was a little too finesse oriented, and so I'm excited that they're going to have four guys in their rotation who can strike a batter out,
okay.
You know.
Uh-huh.
You know, Carpenter, even though he's not really he's not a strikeout pitcher per se, but his stuff is just so good that he gets his share of strikeouts.
Sure.
And Kip Wells throws hard and he can strike people out. And then, Wainwright and Reyes just, you know, they have good fastballs and they both know how to pitch. And, so.
What's your take on, Braden Looper?
Braden Looper right now looks like he's going to be able to pull it off,
okay.
You know, and I mean, he pitched 7 innings today.
Yeah, I saw that.
I gave up no runs and 4 hits, and
right.
And that was against pretty much the Orioles everyday major league lineup.
Right,
you know, it wasn't
so.
Like a lineup packed with minor leaguers. So, you know, I would never make any prediction because this is such an off the wall thing that they're trying.
Right.
At least it seems like it. I actually in the off season did some research to try to find any kind of precedent for a pitcher who was as relief oriented as Looper, not only a reliever in the big leagues, but even throughout the minors, he was a relief pitcher. And even in college when he pitched, he was a reliever. So, you know, there aren't that many guys who come up to the majors and become relief pitchers, but they were starters all through the minors. And Derek Lowe's an example of that.
Sure.
You know, he became a relief pitcher because the Red Sox needed one.
Yeah.
But when he converted to a starter, he was really returning to the role that he was always groomed for. And so, you know, the only precedents that I could find were, for what Looper's trying to do were Byung-Hyun Kim.
Uh-huh.
I always have trouble pronouncing his name. He was a relief pitcher for about 5 years and about 250 big league appearances, and then he became a starter,
right.
And he's been kind of so-so in that role. And Omar Dahl, if you may remember him.
Sure.
You know, he was a left-handed specialist and pretty much had that role ever since he got out of Class A ball in the minor leagues.
Right.
He did make a few token starts in the minors, but by and large he was just a reliever and then came up to the big leagues and was a reliever for about 300 games, and then he became a halfway decent starting pitcher.
Yeah.
He was really... he was really a pretty good starter for a few years. So, what does that tell me? It just means that it's not impossible. You know, it wouldn't be unprecedented, but it's still, there are more failures than examples of success. Danny
right.
Graves would be another example, and he was obviously a washout.
Right, right.
You know, he attempted to make that conversion and it just didn't take. So,
yeah.
You know, Looper's had a fantastic spring, but again, I'm not going to conclude anything from that.
No, not to see him in the real deal. Yeah.
Yeah, see how it is in the real deal. You know, I'm still very skeptical, but, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So any other players you want to comment on for your upcoming 2007 season?
Well, just, you know, real briefly for the Cardinals, a couple of the key guys, one of them in the everyday lineup, well, you know, we already talked about Edmonds, he's obviously a key, but I guess, Chris Duncan was the one.
Oh, yeah,
I
was going to mention Duncan, actually, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's someone who, you know, the Cardinals got to find out what they have in him.
Right.
I think it's not realistic to think that he's going to do what he did last year over a full season.
No. I mean, he was. No, he's had a heck of a spring, too.
He has had a great spring, and I think he made real improvement last year. I don't think it was just a fluke. You
no,
know,
I don't
as,
think, I don't
as
think
he watched,
so
you watched his strike zone judgment, and it got much better.
Uh-huh.
He learned how to recognize pitches, and I think that also being in front of Pujols helps him, you know. But he learned how to force pitchers to come to him rather than you know, than chase the stuff off the plate. So he stopped getting himself out, and then when pitchers had to come to him because Pujols was on deck, then you know he could handle those pitchers.
Yeah, the one game I saw at Busch last year, he had two out, and
And he does have real power. There's no question about it. At the same time, you know, he hasn't shown if he can do it against left-handers. I don't know if he's going to be platooned this year or not, but, and I still think, you know, there was, whether it was just that he got red hot or he was playing on adrenaline or if he just got a little bit lucky, I don't know, but there was a stretch last year where almost, you know, everything he hit was falling in, and he was batting about 360 for a while. And, you know, I think 260 is probably more realistic, frankly. You know, I mean, if he hits 280, I think that's probably, you know, a really good year for him. But as long as he does hit in that range and he hits his share of home runs and draws some walks, he's going to be really valuable. And so, you know, they need him to do that, and, you know, I think there's a chance that, you know, instead he comes back to earth and hits 240 or 250 and, you know, his power drops off. And it could be that happens, you know, and if it does, that's big trouble because the Cardinals, offense, is not very well rounded. And then so they need a lot out of him. And then the other guy I was going to mention was Anthony Rays. Last year was really inconsistent. He showed, a lot of, potential. Had a couple of noteworthy games, the one hitter that he threw against the White Sox and lost.
Right.
The one hit he gave up was a home run to Jim Thome and they lost 1-0.
Oh.
And then the performance in game one of the World Series. The guy obviously, he's got a lot of poise, he's smart, he's got really good command of a couple of pitches. You know, he had a lot of inconsistency and he's going to be in the rotation and, you know, they need him to be consistent enough that when he doesn't have his A game, he can still muddle through five innings, and keep him in the game. So if he can't do that, that's going to, you know, there'd be a ripple effect throughout the staff, you know, more innings on the relief pitchers then and you know.
That affects the rest of the starters and.
Yeah, so he's a guy who, he's gotten his feet wet in the big leagues as a starting pitcher, and, you know, he's got, this is the year where he's kind of got to step forward and throw 180 innings and make them all good.
Sure. So, exiting the players, I want to focus a little bit on Tony La Russa. He's got his World Series ring for the Cardinals. What's your sense of, his future for the Cardinals? You think he'll, stick around for this year and maybe take a stock of his options, or do you stick around for a few years, or what do you think?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, he's a guy who seems to still have a lot of passion for baseball. I'm not sure what else he would do if he didn't manage a baseball team, and you know, I think he has been embraced by the St. Louis fans, slowly but surely. And of course the World Series title, kind of clinches things.
Right.
You know, a lot of skeptics and critics were silenced by what happened.
Did he
last
have
year.
His share of critics in St. Louis?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, and he still does. You know, even now there are people who, you know, who just fundamentally disagree with his philosophies, and then I think
sure.
there are people like me who, you know, I respect and recognize the achievements, but sometimes I don't understand why he does what he does. And so, you know, I mean, I think there, you know, I criticize or question anyway on a case by case basis some of his decisions, but I think in the end, you know, you can't argue with the record.
No,
the
you can't argue with the results. No.
No, that's the thing.
I was just looking at his record for the Cardinals and his, you know, the former, the A's and the Sox, and you can't argue with his record.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, you know, if you're a Cardinal fan and here, you know, the team has been to the playoffs 6 out of the last 7 years.
Right.
They've been in the World Series 2 of the last 3. They've been in the NLCS 4 of the last 5. So, you know, the manager obviously is not a complete moron, you know, and the case that people make that he's a complete idiot, you know, and should be fired, I think that's a hard case for me to buy into.
Right.
But, you know, I also think no manager is perfect, and every manager is going to make decisions that are open to question, and he's no different, you know.
Sure. So, you care to make a prediction for the Cardinals for this year?
Well, I'll predict the whole division.
All right.
I think that's
go for
you
it.
Know because I think it's a
knock yourself
it's a
out.
Kind of a contextual thing here. You know, I think the Cardinals and the Brewers and the Cubs are going to be the top teams. That's just my own opinion.
Uh-huh.
I think you know. I mean, I do think at first I was skeptical of what the Cubs had done and felt that they just spent money just. To make a point, but hadn't really improved the team that much. But after having looked into it, you know, I think they really have made some meaningful improvements. And so I think that they have the capability to get, I think all three of those teams are like looking at between 85 and 90 wins as reasonable expectations. And then how it sorts out is going to be kind of luck of the draw or who gets injured or who,
yeah.
you know,
uh-huh.
who gets an unexpectedly great year. You know, I mean, if Jason Marquis, you know, returns to form, which, you know, I don't discount that possibility.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have bet 3 years on the guy, but I might have placed a 1 year bet on him because, you just never know. And so, you know, if the Cubs get 15 wins out of him and a decent
we'll be
ERA.
Lucky. We'll be lucky.
Yeah. If you know, if the Cardinals get, you know, with one of their rookie starters, you know, goes Jeremy Bonderman on the league, you know, or Justin Verlander on the league, then you know, then maybe they step out. And the Brewers, I think, are loaded with young players who are ready to step forward. A guy that they missed for so much last year was Ben Sheets, and you know, if he's healthy this year, I mean, you know, I think that. Guy's got Cy Young potential, and you know he's someone who could win 20 or more games. And you know, one guy like that in the National League Central can make a lot of difference.
Sure.
So yeah, you know, I don't really think that much of the Astros. Of course, that's what I say every spring, and you know, they always prove me wrong. But and then the other two teams, I really don't feel like the Reds have helped themselves, and I thought they were a little bit lucky last year anyway. And
yeah. Uh-huh.
So I think that ultimately it's going to be a good summer for the National League Central, and I did a little research, and 90 wins is pretty much of a magic number. If you win 90 or more in the National League Central over the last 6 years, you pretty much are guaranteed to get in one way or the other.
Right.
And so, I think 90 is well within reach for the Cardinals. That would be a 7-game improvement, which is not really that huge of an improvement. And, you know, I think that with some of their players being more healthy this year and with a little bit, more reliable pitching staff, you know, assuming that they stay healthy this year, which they didn't last year, you know, I think 7-game is a reasonable improvement for them. You know, the Cubs would need to improve by 25 games to get to 90 wins, but you know, frankly, that's not out of the question. And I'll tell you, the guy who I think is the most influential is Lou Piniella. I think he is. I think Dusty was once a good manager who somehow, when he was with the Giants, I thought he was great.
Right.
I really admired the way he managed.
It wasn't that long ago either.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
And the first year that he comes to Chicago and, you know, you guys win the division and came close to getting to the World Series. And, at some point he just lost his mind. I don't know. He just started making decisions that were stubborn and inflexible and I have no idea what happened, but, you know, I totally turned around on that guy and started feeling like, he just was the,
been
you know,
there,
he
done that. Totally agree with you on that one, yeah.
But, you know, Piniella, I think still, has a feel for the game. You know, he's a little bit old school, but I think that
he is, yeah. But I think I agree with you. I think that, now it does he bring facilities that are necessary to inspire the team and to win the game. But I think he also brought like a winning, you know, mindset to the team, and I think that will help. And
I
also,
he
also brought inspired the Cubs management to spend some money, which I think was also pretty important too.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that he probably, you know, made it clear that I think there was a quid pro quo there that, you know,
right.
I'll come in, but you know, I want to see, some investment immediately. And
yeah,
I think he'd had a similar kind of agreement in Tampa Bay and was disappointed when they didn't,
right.
Put money into the team. So, but I think he's going to be much quicker to react when there are problems. I don't think he's going to let them fester the way that Dusty did or stick his head in the sand.
Exactly.
And, so, you know, I figure between him and, you know, assuming, that Derek Lee is healthy, that's probably 10 or 15, game improvement right there.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, I don't even think that's much of an exaggeration. I think that Lee is that valuable, and I think that Pinella, you know, I think Dusty was that bad that, you know, a competent manager can probably
sure.
make a 5-game difference. And so, you know, then beyond that, it depends on how the, you know, the other free agent pickups work out. You know, we'll see, but I think that it's a shame for Cub fans, and to some extent for baseball fans that Wood and Pryor are not healthy.
It doesn't break me at all, because I think that at least as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other, as far as the Cubs are concerned, I don't think the Cubs are pinning their hopes on Pryor and Wood. They should not be.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Need to get beyond about Pryor and Wood and start focusing on what they have right now.
Yeah, well, and I think that they've made plans to do that, but
right.
I'm just not sure if Marquis, Lilly, you know, I think Rich Hill, frankly, is maybe the guy who's got the most potential.
Right,
is in their rotation, but you know, Lilly and Marquis, you know, I don't know how much. They're going to be able to contribute to winning. They could contribute to not losing.
That I think, you know, is a very accurate statement.
Yeah,
I think
you know
you can get two solid years probably out of Lilly and Marquis if you're lucky. But I think you're correct in saying that Rich Hill probably has the most potential on the staff. Of course, you're going to get you can probably count a very good year from Carlos Zambrano. I think that's safe to say. But if you can, you know, get a solid, a double digit season from Lilly and Rookie, then Cubs are doing pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
So
I think that's right. But we'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
You know?
We will see.
I think it will be interesting, and the Cubs and Cardinals play pretty early in the year.
Yeah,
I think
they do that pretty early in April, I believe.
Yeah.
I want to reintroduce you real quick. You're listening to Larry Borowski from VivaAlbertos.com. Real quick, how much time do you spend just on Viva Albertos doing blogging? For that, how much time do you write? How much time do you spend on just maintaining the blog itself?
Well, it probably ends up being about a couple hours a day.
Okay.
You know, I'm a pretty fast writer, especially when it comes to baseball.
Right.
So I'm able to sit down and kind of, you know, dash something off. But yeah, maintenance takes up a fair amount of time. And if I'm doing a big research project of one kind or another, sometimes, you know, I'm on baseballreference.com or,
right.
on David Pinto's various, you know, he's got the
day by day database. It's really fantastic.
It's invaluable. So sometimes I'm spending my time doing that. But
right.
Yeah, it's probably about 2 hours a day.
Right. I just wanted to thank you for coming on to our show, and why don't you give the address so I don't mess it up.
Yeah, it's just www.vivaalbertos.com, and Viva Albertos is spelled V-I-V-A VivaElbirdos. So VivaElbirdos.com, and it's part of SB Nation, the sports blogging network. And so that's where you can find me.
Any books in the future for you? I know a lot of the bloggers out there are writing books and such. And you have any idea?
I gave it a lot of thought to doing one after the World Series.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It comes down to a time issue. Time issue. You know, I would have loved to do it, and you know, that would have been a perfect opportunity. If anyone's ever going to buy a book from a blog, it would be an impulse purchase like that, I would think. But
right.
I couldn't fit the hours into the day and still make a living.
Right.
And so I ended up not doing it. But you know, we'll see. Maybe there'll be an opportunity down the road. You know, right now I have to try to keep it in balance and, you know, keep it something that's enjoyable.
That's the key right there, I think.
Yeah.
As long as it's enjoyable, then people will know that and they'll keep coming back.
Yeah. And if it starts becoming a burden, they'll pick up on that too.
Exactly.
And so,
Well, I want you to keep up the good work, and I appreciate you coming on, and I hope we'll have you back again.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and enjoy talking to you.
You bet. You take care.